This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Up to Date wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. Donald Trump is back running for the White House for the third consecutive cycle. The former president made his announcement Tuesday night, 1 week after the midterm elections. He made his intentions known despite growing concerns inside the Republican Party about yet another Trump run. Here to talk about it is Dr. Darius Watson. He's a political scientist at Lincoln University in Jefferson City, where he's also executive director of strategic initiatives. Darius, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
Bob Beatty is chairman of the political science department over at Washburn University in Topeka. Bob, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Bob, he's back again. Was there any surprise attached to his announcement last night?
The only surprise I had, which is not really a surprise, because we always have to take Donald Trump for what he is. There's a lot of people that always say, oh, he's reinventing himself or he'll be different. He's not any different. I guess that's the mild surprise. Is there any new plans? Is there anything that's going to be different? Does he have a platform? No, I mean, basically the main message is we'll make America great and fabulous again, and that there's a storm coming and the voters just don't seem to know how bad it really is. So to me, it's the same Donald Trump, but of course, as we're talking about now, and I can't wait to hear the listeners chime in, it's a very different environment than it was almost 8 years ago.
Darius, he did this 1 week after a midterm election that, you know, has been widely described as a big bust for the Republican Party and for Donald Trump himself, for that matter, who endorsed a lot of candidates who lost last week. What do you make of the timing of this announcement?
Well, my thinking is that he was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. I would suggest that had the Republicans done well in the midterms, he probably would have announced sometime last week, trying to really operate off the momentum that he received from the midterms. But in my opinion, it's not just the failure of many of his candidates. It's some of the particular candidates that he put out there, whether it was Pennsylvania or some of the other Senate races. I think it was not just that he underperformed. I mean, he in terms of his candidates, but where he underperformed and the degree to which it directly led to Democrats holding on to the Senate, and even not really gaining nearly as much as was expected in the House. And so I think in the end, it comes across a little bit more as a ploy in the sense of trying to hold on to what he has rather than build on what he thought he was going to get.
And so you're suggesting that he was trying to turn the page from his poor performance last week?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I don't think he intended it to be that sort of thing. I think actually the whole goal was to build on his perceived kingmaker status and, you know, then announce his own candidacy. And hopefully the momentum from a strong midterm showing for the Republicans would catapult him to where he wanted to be. But I think in the end, what's really going to be a problem for him is that he doesn't have that narrative. And so he's going to have to rely. And I think his speech last night really brought this out. He's going to have to rely on a lot of the old hits. And I think he has really used several of them up. And I think even the reactions from some of the conservative media last night show that it's not having the same impact as it did even two years ago.
You know, Maggie Haberman, Bob Beatty, the stalwart reporter for The New York Times who covers Trump so closely, said the announcement was not a show of strength. Do you buy that?
Oh, of course I buy it. And that's exactly what we've been talking about here. The difference is the context is just so different. When you think about 8 years ago, and we'll get into this, he ran against a we now know, and I was involved in it very closely, a very weak Republican field. The context now is a possible challenger in Ron DeSantis, who is one person that the party can coalesce around, including moderates who are tired of Trump. They may coalesce around him. Remember, in 2016, we had the likes of Rand Paul and George Pataki and Rick Santorum, you know, was leading for a while, and obviously Ted Cruz. So it's just such a different context. But the difference is, what has he done since then to add to his resume? And there's as always with Donald Trump, there's sort of this odd, surreal aspect to it. when you look at his resume, he won, but not the popular vote in 2016, but he still won, of course. Since then, where have been the, quote, victories? And that's what the party was hoping for in 2016, when a lot of, you know, people that didn't like Trump sort of joined in and said, oh, we're in, this could go someplace.
Yeah.
And it never really went anyplace. So where is it going now? I think that's what Republican voters are really going to have to think about.
Let's go to Glenn from Kansas City, Missouri. Glenn, you're on Up to Date. Nice to have you.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that we really need to take the focus off of Donald Trump. I mean, what we're really dealing with is a rise of white nationalism, white supremacists, authoritarians who are, you know, really opposed to democracy as we understand it. And all of those who endorsed Trump and his minions, if you will, are, you know, undermining our democracy. So the focus really needs to change from Donald, which is just the, you know, he's just the symptom of what's going on here. And we really need to focus on, you know, why are so many people being led down this down these paths of lies and misinformation.
Glenn, to what extent do you think the results of the midterms last week was a reflection of just what you're talking about?
It was a tremendous effort of those who've been paying attention to the January 6th hearings to listen to, you know, the documentation that's out there. We have so much documentation in place now, so many books that have been written. I mean, it is clear that we're dealing with, you know, a thug, you know, a mobster of international scale.
Right.
And people are afraid of him because he can inflict direct harm on them.
Glenn, I appreciate that. Darius Watson, what do you think about what Glenn just had to say here about the focus maybe should shift from Trump to the movement he's inspired?
Well, I mean, I don't disagree. I think there's absolutely some truth there. One of the things that I think is there's two key components here that I'm interested to see how they play out. And the first is the degree to which Trump is not running with an intention of gaining more supporters. It's kind of an odd thing, but basically his base is set. It's set in stone. And so by coming out so early, his goal is going to actually be to keep the individuals that have been consistently supporting him. I mean, I think it's pretty clear to everybody involved that he's not going to make some massive inroads to new voter populations. And so it's about continuing the messaging that has allowed him to kind of coalesce the support that he has. And it'll be interesting now because that, I think, makes him a target. In the end, all he can do is try and minimize the subtraction of support. And I think one of the things in that area that's really going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and, you know, mentioned a couple of the potential candidates that will be running against him, including DeSantis, I think Pence, and whether or not he decides to run and the narrative that he runs under is going to be a critical impact on Trump's overall potential for success.
Interesting. Let's go to Carl from Kansas City, Missouri. Carl, you're on the show.
Thanks, Steve, for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm dismayed and shocked that American voters, the ones that I know who are my family members and friends, don't see the lie and the bullying that Trump does. And it's well documented. So I just don't understand how smart people don't see through his ruse.
You know, Bob Beatty, that's one of the questions that a lot of Americans have been asking ever since Donald Trump came on the scene. How do you respond to it?
This is not going to sound good, Steve. Like Carl, I've been totally flummoxed for the last 7 years. I don't get it. So apparently I'm missing something. But here's one thing we know, is that in the modern era, actually in American history, presidents that lose don't end up running again. I mean, it happens, but it just doesn't happen. So how does Donald Trump get over that stigma, which is he tells people he didn't lose? And to Carl's point, how do people actually believe that? And not see it for what it is, which is for him to be able to run again and saying, well, I didn't. I'm not a loser, so don't vote for me. Don't not vote for me because of that. I actually won. And it's worked to some extent, but the midterms show that if actually the party starts to lose, then the tide may turn against him. But what it's going to be interesting in the primaries, because if he loses a primary, he's going to have to argue that there's corruption and fraud in a Republican primary, not just when a Democrat wins.
Darius, there was also talk last night that his candidacy is aimed, you know, at least in part in holding off the Justice Department from indicting him in the months to come. I mean, the thinking being here that it's harder to indict a candidate for president than someone who's not a candidate for president. What do you make of that line of thought?
Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of people, as we were just discussing, the degree to which all sorts of observers can't quite understand why he continues to garner so much support. I'll be honest, one of the things that I've frankly been flummoxed by, to use the previous term, is the degree to which he seems to be able to dodge a lot of legal arrows that other individuals just would not be able to do. I would suggest, for instance, that he put quite a bit of stock in the idea that the Supreme Court, as he stacked it, would be willing to take some of these cases and ultimately shield him from legal jeopardy. I'm not sure that's exactly been the case. And so, again, I think this is kind of a Hail Mary in a certain degree. There doesn't seem to be any evidence, or at least not initially, that suggests that any of these cases are going to suddenly slow down. And it would be quite ironic to see him, for instance, ultimately be charged with something, or at least identified as a co-conspirator, if you will, in the January 6th, right during the Republican primary season. I wonder how that will play. In the end, I think one of the reasons why he continues to have the influence he does, because he's not going at this with a traditional political or rational narrative. He's in many ways kind of positioned himself as the disgraced minister, if you will. It's a lot more about faith. It's a lot more about simply believing the messaging and not being willing to open the door to critical thinking that then suggests that maybe what you're being told is wrong. And it's his ability to keep his flock in line that ultimately is going to be the foundation of his success or failure right. In 24.
Joe from Lawrence. Joe, you're on Up Today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
You
so
bet.
Quickly, I'll say I see Trump as being extremely vulnerable. I make the comment that politics move really fast, and you got to have your head on a swivel to even begin to know what's going on. My observations and my gut tell me that for openers, DeSantis and Pence can knock him out of the race eventually. I don't think he can stand up to them. They have credibility. They're honorable people. I don't necessarily like their views on everything, but they're solid candidates, and the Republicans need one. And I think when those guys throw their hats in the ring, it's going to be over for Donald.
Okay, Joe. Thanks for the call. Much appreciated. You know, Bob Beatty, maybe a couple final points here. In his speech last night, Donald Trump called America a failing nation. He also said that Russia's attack of Ukraine never would have happened had he been president. What do you make of those two claims?
I don't agree, but I tend to be an optimist. But I was thinking about that, you know. These midterms were just sort of almost shocking. And to your previous caller's point, politics does move fast. And, you know, Trump won with this idea that he was going to make these dramatic changes. He was going to be somebody different. And he really wasn't in many ways. And so by just bringing up the same themes, which he's doing, I think he's now off the moment. To both Darius's discussion and the callers, I think he's out of step. And these midterms, I think, really drove that home. The nation is looking to come out of COVID with something different. And interestingly enough, it's recent, but Donald Trump really does represent the past.
Interesting perspectives. I want to thank Bob Beatty, chairman of the Political Science Department over at Washburn University in Topeka. You just heard his voice. Dr. Darius Watson, a political scientist at Lincoln University in Jeff City, where he's also executive director of strategic initiatives. Gentlemen, always appreciate your time. Always appreciate your insights. Thanks so much. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.